Have you ever noticed how easy it is to be kind to a stranger but brutal to yourself? Or how you can empathize with a friend's struggles while dismissing your own? There's a strange paradox at the heart of human relationships. We're wired for connection, yet most of us are terrible at the one relationship that makes all others possible, the one with ourselves. We live in an age where we can video chat across continents but feel lonelier than ever. The research is sobering. Loneliness now ranks as a public health crisis, linked to heart disease, depression, and even early death. Yet the solution isn't downloading another app or attending more networking events. It starts somewhere far more fundamental and, frankly, uncomfortable, with befriending yourself. Think about your most trusted friend, the person who shows up when you're struggling. Now ask yourself, do you show up for yourself that way? Most of us wouldn't dream of speaking to others the way we speak to ourselves in our heads. That critical voice that magnifies every mistake, that highlights every flaw, it runs on autopilot, creating a constant background hum of self-judgment. This matters because your brain has a negativity bias. Clinging to bad experiences like Velcro, while good ones slide off like Teflon. It's an evolutionary feature, not a bug. Our ancestors survived by remembering threats, not sunsets. But in modern life, this bias sabotages us, especially in relationships. When stress hits, we enter what can be called the red zone: fear, frustration, hostility. Our bodies flood with cortisol, our thinking narrows, and we make terrible relationship decisions. The alternative is the green zone of calm and connection, where our needs for safety, satisfaction, and belonging are met. Here's the insight that changes everything. You can learn to regulate yourself back to green. Simple practices work. Long exhales activate your calming parasympathetic nervous system. Grounding yourself in the present moment reminds you that right now, in this breath, you're basically okay. This isn't positive thinking. It's building psychological resources so you can meet your needs without going red. We rarely admit we want to feel cared about. Yet this desire isn't weakness, it's biology. Feeling cared about lowers stress hormones, increases resilience, and improves physical health. Many learned early that wanting care was dangerous. Perhaps your parents were emotionally unavailable, or a partner made you feel needy, so you locked away the parts that wanted attention, affection, validation. By 15 months old, some children already suppress certain feelings. We all have countless parts: the confident part, the anxious part, the angry part. Praised parts push forward, troublesome ones retreat to the shadows. When you exile parts of yourself, they don't disappear, they leak out sideways. You overreact to others because they're displaying something you've banished in yourself. Most people struggle to believe they're fundamentally good. Childhood criticism leaves marks, past mistakes haunt us. Yet beneath the noise, when undisturbed by pain or fear, the human brain naturally defaults to calm, contentment, and caring. That angry outburst? Usually a desire for respect or safety underneath. Recognizing your own goodness changes everything. You stop needing constant validation, acknowledge mistakes without shame, and ask for what you need without apologizing. When a friend suffers, compassion flows naturally. We empathize and wish to help. But when we're suffering, the inner critic arrives, armed with judgments about why we shouldn't feel this way or why we should be stronger. Research reveals self-compassion makes us more resilient and confident, not less. It reduces stress while helping us interact more respectfully with others. It's not self-pity. It's acknowledging your pain while offering yourself the same support you'd give a friend. Everyone messes up. The question isn't whether you'll make mistakes, but whether you'll learn from them or beat yourself up indefinitely. Most people have an inner critic that magnifies failings and an inner protector that puts weaknesses in perspective. Strengthening your inner protector lets you see faults clearly without drowning in shame, clean up your messes, and move forward. This matters in relationships because when you trust yourself, you can be authentic. What looks like distrust of others is often distrust of ourselves. Try this. Complete "I need blank" 10 times, going deeper each time. Surface wants, compliments, agreement, help, often mask deeper needs like self-worth, safety, and belonging. When you understand your own depths, you can ask for what truly matters. Your brain has empathy built in. Mirror neurons fire when you act and when you watch others act. Your insula activates when you feel emotions and when you perceive them in others. Yet we often miss what's right in front of us, consumed by our own internal narrative. Start with curiosity. Focus on breathing and body language. Tune into emotions beneath the surface. Pay special attention to faces, particularly the eyes, where 6 universal emotions, happiness, surprise, fear, sadness, anger, disgust, flash across in micro movements. What matters most to someone in pain is having their suffering witnessed, having someone who truly gets it. Without this recognition, issues fester and we miss opportunities for genuine connection. Compassion doesn't require agreement. You can have compassion for someone who's wronged you while still insisting on better treatment. Our brain's negativity bias makes us notice what's annoying about others more than what's good. People are like mosaics, with mostly positive tiles we tune out, while negative ones stand out sharply. Deliberately notice basic decency, gentleness with children, quirky humor in people around you. For a real challenge, try it with difficult people. Seeing their good qualities won't make you naive. It'll make interactions less stressful. Being dumped from a canoe by teenagers feels different than being capsized by a log, though physically identical. Most people who affect us negatively are like logs. Their actions result from impersonal causes upstream of this moment. When tired or stressed, we're more likely to feel offended. The better you care for yourself, the less you'll take things personally. Sometimes we get caught in hostile, resentful thoughts, an internal war that primarily harms ourselves. Here's the liberating truth. You can defend yourself while remaining at peace internally. They might be at war with you, but that war doesn't need to invade your mind. When you end the war in your own head, you'll feel better, act better, and might even change the relationship. Start with your body sensations and the reassuring feeling of simply existing right now. Stay present rather than worrying about the future. Establish facts clearly, make concrete plans, remember your deeper values. Anger alerts us to threats while energizing action, yet it narrows attention and clouds judgment. Address it early by recognizing its 2 stages: priming, fatigue, stress, frustration, and triggering, the spark that ignites. When triggers occur, pause before reacting. Though our brains spotlight negative intentions while ignoring positive ones, actively looking for good intentions reveals them everywhere. Speaking truthfully creates trust, while false speech breeds conflict and inner hollowness. The most important person to tell the truth to is yourself. Many exaggerate flaws while downplaying strengths. Truth doesn't mean saying everything. Be selective while remaining genuine. Speaking from an open heart may seem vulnerable, but carries great moral force. One powerful relationship improvement is expressing genuine appreciation. We're social animals, needing to feel seen and valued. Communication has 3 elements: explicit content, emotional subtext, and relationship dynamics. The tone, comprising the latter 2, often has the greatest impact. Research shows several positive interactions are needed to offset 1 negative. Relationships are built from interactions, with crucial turning points coming when someone expresses their wants. In difficult situations, fixating solely on others' misdeeds creates stress and blinds you to your own role. Acknowledging mistakes helps others feel safer admitting their faults. The fundamental issue beneath most conflicts is an inability to talk about issues effectively. Discussing how we talk shifts focus to a bird's eye view, which can be calming in itself. Forgiveness means releasing resentment while pursuing justice. You can condemn actions without harboring anger toward people. Though it seems reserved for major wrongs, forgiveness is most needed for daily disappointments. The forgiver benefits most, freed from anger's grip. Beyond personal relationships lies our connection with the world. Our brain has three motivational systems: avoiding harms, approaching rewards, and attaching to others. Perhaps a fourth is emerging, cherishing the earth. Unlike ancestors with limited impact, today's 8 billion humans press planetary limits. Your life's quality reflects your relationships with yourself, others, and the world. Every interaction is a choice. Close off or open up, react or respond, see threats or possibilities. Start simply. Treat yourself with the loyalty you'd show a dear friend. You can't connect authentically with others until you've connected with yourself. The world needs people who stay open-hearted in difficult moments, see humanity in others even when hidden, and stand in their strength without going to war. That person can be you.